May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 488. Uprising from the darksome tomb, see the victorious Jesus come. The almighty prisoner quits the prison, and angels tell the Lord is risen. Hymn 488.
This morning are firstly from the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, and then we will read a part of Mark chapter 14. We begin with Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And if you would turn on to the Gospel as recorded by Mark, and we'll read in chapter 14, and we'll begin to read at verse 27. Mark chapter 14 and verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also, said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. He taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the high priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scripture must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself She looked upon him and said, Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. May God bless these portions of his own word to us and help us all to pray. Kind and ever gracious Lord God Almighty, we come unto thee on this occasion of another Lord's Day, one especially when we think of that Easter story, and especially on this day, thy resurrection. Oh Lord, we do pray that that wonderful power may be made known in our hearts. Lord, it is thy promise to be in the midst where thy people meet together in thy name. Lord, we have done that. There is that open profession so far that we have gathered to worship thee. Lord, we do pray that thy presence might be felt. Lord, so often we may come into thy house and be so hard-hearted, so cold and so barren, that we do not perceive thy presence. Lord, we pray that it may not be the case of any that shall have to confess as Jacob did, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Lord, do make thyself known to each one, if it may be thy holy will. Lord, we thank thee for the opportunity to come together. We thank thee for the freedoms that we still have in our worship. Lord, we do pray that we may use the blessings of these things and the blessings of thy day aright. Lord, it is a day to be set apart from the other days of the week. May it be so, not only outwardly, no doubt there will be that keeping of the Lord's Day, but oh, may it be so in our hearts. May it be a day of meditation upon thy word, a day of praise and of thanksgiving, a day, oh Lord, of teaching and instruction in our hearts. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember each one for good. We do pray for the children and the younger ones, Lord, that thou wilt reveal thyself to them whilst they are young in years. Do bless them, do protect and keep them safe, do watch over them in all the things of life. Do bless them in their studies and their education. Oh Lord, do help those that have that responsibility of teaching. Parents, of course, but others in other settings. Lord, do help them. And we pray that thou would bless them with the wisdom and the talents that they shall need for their future life. Oh Lord, thou knowest what each one shall do, what is the path that each shall take. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with them in those things. May it please thee, Lord, to cause them to pray and to commit their own way unto thee. Doubtless others commit their way to thee, but Lord, may there be a spirit of prayer even in their hearts. It may be very simply so, but none the worse for that. Lord, do go before them, we pray. And Lord, each of us, we still need thy keeping power. We need thee to deliver us from the many temptations that surround us in so many different ways. Oh Lord, it's when that temptation of unbelief and a lack of faith. Lord, we do pray that thou would increase our faith. Give us more grace. Lord, do help us to walk uprightly in this dark world, in a troublous time. Lord, may we be found true disciples, true followers of thee, those that put into practice thy teaching. Oh Lord, we often come short of what we ought to be. We pray for thy pardon on those occasions, but Lord, do strengthen us. Do grant that our life may be a witness before others. Lord, not just the things that we say, but the things that we do. Oh Lord, how keenly others do observe us and quick to spot inconsistencies and hypocrisies. Lord, give us that grace to look into our own hearts and where we see those things, that we may be given repentance, that we may forsake any wrong way, and Lord, to be the more diligent in following thee. And those who are afflicted, and Lord, we do pray for those. We think of some in hospital, some unwell in various different ways. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with them. Oh Lord, do draw near where they are. Perhaps some prevented from being in thy house today as they would like to be. But Lord, thou canst come where they are and bless them in their souls. Oh Lord, may none feel to be completely absent from thee, forsaken of thee, but do draw near to where they are and bless them. Where it may be thy will, Lord, do give healing and restoration, full health and strength once again. Lord, if that thorn in the flesh, as it were, is not to be removed, then do give that grace that is sufficient to bear it. Lord, often we have particular answers in mind when we pray, but oh Lord, does that not cover it all, that we should be given grace to endure whatever is thy appointed will and pathway for us each? Lord, do remember any that mourn and do bring comfort. Thou hast said in thy word, thou art the God of all comfort. Lord, we do pray that those that mourn may indeed be comforted. Lord, any that mourn because of their sin, oh Lord, how great a grief that is when thou dost show to the soul how far short we have come of thy law, of thy word, of thy commandments. Oh Lord, we do pray that that may indeed be made a burden to each one. Lord, so many go on complacently, never feeling the weight of their sin, never concerned about it. Oh Lord, leave none in that way, we pray. Do bring it home to each one that we are guilty before thee, that we have offended a holy, a pure, a just God. Oh Lord, we pray that that grace of repentance may be given, that we may come and confess our sin before thee, desire thy help to forsake those sins. And Lord, may we know the pardon that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. Oh Lord, especially there is that remembrance of these things at this season of the year, but Lord, may it be something we remember often. May it not be something that we can leave to an anniversary, as it were, in the year. But Lord, we need daily to be cleansed by thee. Lord, do look down in mercy then upon each, we pray. Lord, we would desire to be thankful for all thy mercies, thy continuing mercies. Lord, we are not left as we deserve to be left, but daily thou dost load us with so many benefits. And especially, Lord, we rejoice with those that have come to know thee more deeply, those who have been led to follow thee. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon each. We pray that thou wilt work in the hearts of others too and bring them likewise to follow in the path that thou hast set. Oh Lord, we read of those in thy word, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he leadeth. Oh Lord, we do pray for such a spirit to be granted, to not raise hindrances and obstacles in the path, but to follow thee wherever that may take us. Lord, it cannot be the wrong path if truly we are following thee. And Lord, that was thine example of old. So Lord, we pray that thou continue to bless. As one says in the hymn, Lord, we would be thankful for present. We acknowledge thy goodness. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. But Lord, we would still ask for more. Lord, thou art a great God, one with whom nothing is impossible. No heart too hard for thee, no soul too far away from thee. O Lord, in thy mercy, come in power and speak to such, we pray. Lord, where thy work is begun, may we never think, Lord, that we are, as it were, already perfect, but we need thee to continue to work. We need further instruction, deeper understanding in thy truths. O Lord, may there be much prayer for these things in our hearts. May there be a real zeal, Lord, to know thee better. And Lord, as we know thee better, shall we not love thee even more? Oh Lord, as we understand more of thy dealings, so we see more of thy love. Oh Lord, we do pray for a thankful heart for all these things. We pray, Lord, that thou be with us in the nation as we continue in much uncertainty. Lord, do give wisdom to all those who rule over us. Do give them one mind, O Lord, to do whatever is right in thy sight. O Lord, we see that there are so many conflicting opinions. Lord, thou knowest whatever is the right thing. And we pray that that may be done. Lord, whether they know that thou art using them in that way or not, Lord, we pray that thou wilt arise for our deliverance and overrule all these things for good. Especially, Lord, that there might be a true pouring out of thy spirit in the land to quicken many souls. Lord, there is so much indifference, so much apathy to the things of God. Indeed, so much opposition. But Lord, thou art able to bring light into any dark soul, any dark place. Lord, oh, do shine from on high and turn such unto thee, we pray. May there be a gathering in, a building up in the churches, in the congregations of such as shall be saved. Lord, do prepare us to rightly receive such, to welcome such. Lord, if thou dost welcome us, should we not welcome others? Lord, do graciously work, we pray. Lord, we do ask that thou remember thy persecuted people throughout the world. Lord, we are greatly favoured and spared so much, but Lord, we would not be forgetful of those that endure much suffering for the name of Christ. Lord, those this day in prison, those confined to their own homes, perhaps those in much isolation with no fellow believers around them, those that may meet together but in fear of disruption and the consequences, as it were, of worshipping Thee. Oh Lord, do protect and keep and deliver, if it may be Thy will. May each one know much of Thy presence with them, that Thou art their refuge in every time of need, in every trouble. Lord, as we have read, that they might be given that spirit not to fear what man can do unto them, but to have confidence in Thee and Thy power to keep them. So, Lord, we pray that Thou grant the help that we each need in the services of Thy day. Oh, Lord, whether speaking or in singing the hymns from our heart, not just with a voice, but, oh Lord, may we have an understanding heart of what we sing. And do bless Thy word as we read it. And Lord, do help us in speaking in Thy name and help each one to hear. Lord, do cast out all the tiredness, the distractions, the other cares and concerns that so often fill us, fill our thoughts. Lord, do take them away and give that meditation upon Thyself and upon Thy word, we pray. Send none unhealed away. May all eat and be filled with Thy word. Lord, do forgive all our many sins. Lord, we are united at least in that we are all sinners. Oh, Lord, do have mercy. Do cleanse us from all our sin, all our iniquity, in the precious blood of Christ. Lord, do hear each prayer, all those silent cries and sighs and groans up unto Thee. Lord, if we have not touched anyone's case through our prayer, Lord, may they know that Thou hearest their own prayer. And Lord, do in Thy way and time send down answers to those prayers we ask. We would seek it all in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 836. Believer, lift thy drooping head. Thy Saviour has the victory gained. See all thy foes in triumph led, and everlasting life obtained. Hymn 836.
As the Lord may be pleased to help us each, let us consider together words that you will find in Psalm 27 and the latter part of verse 9. Psalm 27 and the latter part of verse 9. I'll read all the verse to begin with. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. And especially these words, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. May it be that perhaps your first thought as we announce this text is some disappointment, perhaps. It doesn't seem, maybe on the face of it, particularly a text for this season of the year, for this Easter time. But whilst we are not to be slaves to any particular date, as it were, we have to speak as the Lord directs, but I do feel, and I hope that we shall see, that there is a very strong connection, really, with these words and the whole of that Easter story, if I can call it that, that account. When I say story, I don't mean to imply that it wasn't true. Of course, every word is true. The account of those events, there is a strong connection. Firstly, my thought is this. In this prayer of David, he is really asking God, praying that God will behave, if I can use that word, behave in a very different way from the way that we behave. It's very powerful to me when we read, as we did in Mark chapter 14, we have, of course, the detail of Peter's betrayal, Peter's forsaking of the Lord. And very solemn that is to consider it. But although the detail is recorded about Peter, and of course so often Peter was really the spokesman for the other disciples, and we read, didn't we, you see, although Jesus had given this warning, if we didn't know our own heart, we surely would think this ought to have sufficed for the disciples, that Jesus quoted the scripture. And so often, and it's so true of this Easter story, isn't it, that it was in fulfillment of the scriptures. And Jesus quoted, didn't he, from the prophet Zechariah, I will smite the shepherd. And the sheep shall be scattered. One would have thought that that ought to be enough to have warned the disciples that this was going to happen. But, Peter, oh, beware of these buts. And sometimes they're glorious buts, of course, in the scripture, but often it speaks of a contradiction, doesn't it? And it was so here. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. So full of self-confidence, boasting of his own ability never to forsake the Lord, though others should. And really what arrogance was there in Peter. Although all shall be offended, James and John and Philip and the other disciples, but I won't. I'm stronger than they are. I'm more consistent. I'm more faithful. Jesus warned him again, didn't he? Made it this time a very personal warning to Peter. Thou shalt deny me thrice. And again, in Mark's account, this little detail so important, before the cock crow twice. And as we see, Peter had that warning, didn't he, after he had denied the Lord the first time and the cock crowed. Still, he didn't take any heed of that warning, that alarm bell, if you like. He carried on and twice more denied the Lord. And here, but he spake the more vehemently with such contradiction of what Christ had said, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. I'm ready to suffer even death. I will never forsake thee." That was what Peter was saying, wasn't it? But remember this, likewise also said they all. Every one of them was as guilty in that sense as Peter was. Because we then read in verse 50, "And they all forsook him and fled." Now, we can't throw stones, as it were, at them, and we mustn't have that same sense, that same spirit as Peter, and say, "Well, if I'd have been there, I'd have set a much better example. I wouldn't have fled." We cannot say that. But it's very solemn to read it, isn't it? Every one of them, in that time, they all forsook him and fled. And yet, here is the psalmist David in this case, praying, "Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Don't be such a one as I am. Show more faithfulness. Show more fidelity than I have ever been able to." Is there anyone here who would dare to say that they have never been ashamed of Jesus? Have never denied him? Maybe not in exactly the way that Peter did. It's very solemn how he did, didn't he? When they said, because of the basis of his accent as a Galilean, they identified him as that, and how he adds oaths and curses to his language to blend in with those that did not believe in Jesus. You wouldn't expect a disciple to use that language, but Peter did, in order to give himself more cover, if you like, to deceive them. How very sad. But can any say that we have consistently, always followed the Lord? There is that forsaking spirit in us each, isn't there? But the prayer is to one who is not such a one as we are. It's a lovely word in Deuteronomy. You remember how that book was written at the end of Moses' life, as he reviewed the pathway and the experience of the children of Israel in the 40 years through the wilderness. How often they had forsaken the Lord, hadn't they? How often they had tried to turn away from him. And then we read this: "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Oh, how different is our God. Is he really our God? It's wonderful if this is true, isn't it? The Lord thy God. Because how different he is. He's a merciful God. Sure, particularly see that, I hope, again in a moment as we come back to the account. But he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. There's a little word that I often turn to in my mind, at least, that we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews. He is faithful that promised. He remembers the promises he has made. Again, how different that is from us. Sometimes we forget what we've promised. Sometimes we are unable to fulfill what we have promised. But he is faithful. He'll remember that covenant that he swore to the fathers. You find, again, we haven't the time to go into each example, but you find very similar words to this of not being left or forsaken, not always identical words, but similar, spoken to Jacob, spoken to Joshua, spoken to David himself, spoken to Solomon, and no doubt there are others. The Lord remembers that. He's the same God today, isn't he? I think so often, really, well, I'm sure we would not want to admit it, as it were, but so often we behave and we think as if God has changed, that he's no longer the God that he was, as it were, in the Bible. We forget that he changes not. So there is still every reason to acknowledge that he is a merciful God. He will not forsake his people, will not leave them. But what struck me here in this Psalm of David, he was very much really in a similar position in his experience to those who came, particularly on the resurrection morning. This is a psalm to begin with, isn't it? Full of opposition. That is, that he is experiencing opposition. He is tempted. He has many fears and many doubts. And it seemed to me that is so much the case with those that came to the sepulchre on the resurrection morn. We know that they had not got, all of them anyway, they had not got a good understanding of Christ's teaching about how he would rise from the dead. They had heard the words, but they hadn't really understood them. So it was that many of them came still expecting to see his body. And it was not there, was it? You have Mary Magdalene, you have the other women that came, you have Peter and John, who at different times, evidently, they didn't all come together, but at different times they all came to the sepulchre and he was not there. Surely that must have entered their thoughts. He's forsaken us. He's left us. He's gone away. Or, of course, in Mary Magdalene's case, she still thought that it must just be that his body had been removed by the gardener. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, for those women that came, we read this. They entered into the sepulchre. They saw the angel there. And he said to them, "Be not affrighted." So they were affrighted. We read it. They were scared. They were full of fear. And he said, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth." Or is that true of some here today, looking for him, coming where you think that he would be, seeking for him? But he says, he is not here. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. See for yourself that he is not here. Has he forsaken you then? Has he left you? Is that the end, as it were, of all things in your heart? Must you give up as you turn away disappointed? Oh, but he says, and I do like this, it shows this mercy of God, doesn't it? Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. I think probably the literal context of that was that Peter, having denied the Lord, as we read, and we know he went out and wept bitterly. He was truly sorry for that sin, without a doubt. But it seems he was not then at that time meeting with the other disciples. Perhaps he felt so far away. I am so guilty of forsaking my God. I have left the Lord Jesus. I have denied that I ever knew him. He could not meet with the others, but here is a word of mercy, even to Peter. Go and tell his disciples, go and tell the obedient ones who are following him, but tell Peter as well, even though he's been disobedient, even though his shame of following Jesus is so great, remind him also that the Lord is risen, and you see that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. We read it, didn't we? Jesus said, after he was risen, he would see them in Galilee. He hadn't left them, had he? Hadn't forsaken them, really. Yes, he was not physically visible to them at this time. But what a promise. He goeth before you. Seemed to me to emphasize that need to walk by faith and not by sight. It's much easier, isn't it, to walk by sight when everything is laid out, as it were, clearly before us, and we know exactly where we're going, and in that sense we know what's going to happen and so on. Sight makes things so much easier, but that is not always the Christian's pathway, is it? There must be a walking in faith. They wouldn't see the Lord walking ahead of them. They had to believe that he was going. He goeth before you. Put me in mind again of those precious words in Deuteronomy. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He's words are very special to me in the ministry. They're written in the front of my Bible here. And the Lord. But I love that emphasis. It doesn't need, in a grammatical sense, it doesn't need to have that repetition, he it is, does it? It would make perfectly good sense to just say, the Lord goeth before thee. But there's such a confirmation. And I think it was so with these women at this time, when they were told, he goeth before you into Galilee. The Lord, he it is. It really is him. He really is risen from the dead. It is the same Lord. It's not a different Lord. It's not a different being, as it were. The Lord, he it is. How that must really have comforted them in a way, mustn't it? The knowledge that though not visible, he had not forsaken them. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Perhaps one here needs to follow by faith and not by sight, but be not dismayed, be not fearful concerning it. It is the Lord that goeth before thee. Oh, how comforting to know that, isn't it? Wonderful how the Lord did go before the children of Israel. As I said, as Moses was looking back, the Lord had never forsaken them in that 40 years, had he? They'd often forsaken him, but that pillar of fire by night and cloud by day had never been removed from them. Despite all their rebellion, the Lord had always gone before them. And it has to be said, in spite of all their rebellion in many matters, it does seem that they always did follow that leading. They didn't go away from it. Sometimes it led them in what may have appeared to be a strange pathway. There's at least one occasion where if you follow their points of reference, it's obvious they went round in a big circle. Must have seemed a very strange path, mustn't it? But it was always the Lord that was going before them. It was always the Lord that was leading them. Not for them and not for us today to say, well, I know a different way, a better way, a shortcut. I can avoid this trouble by going a different path. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. And what a promise this was that was made to them here. He goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. In other words, when you have obeyed his direction, that's when he will be revealed once again to you. There ye shall see him. But I want to come to this also. It's evident, isn't it, if we study the gospel accounts and put them together as a whole, you can see the chronology, the way that these things happened in time. Although that was certainly true, that he was going before them into Galilee, and many of them would not see him again until they came into Galilee. But there were those who, before he went to Galilee, he came to them where they were. And again, what mercy, what compassion is shown there. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Think of those two disciples, Cleopas and the other disciple, on their way to Emmaus. Their backs to Jerusalem, travelling in such sorrow, weren't they? So cast down. It seemed that everything had come really to nothing. Sad the way that they were speaking together, isn't it? We trusted, that's in the past tense, so it indicates they were no longer trusting. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And it appears that he's forsaken us. He's not there. We've heard tell that there were those that went to the sepulchre and he wasn't there. He's left us. We thought that he would have redeemed Israel and it would at least have happened on this third day. But now all our hopes have come to nothing. How sorrowful that made them. What unbelief really filled their hearts, didn't it? We know that because Jesus later reproved them for that unbelief. But we find those lovely words, Jesus himself. Again, you see, the Lord, he it is. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But sight didn't do them any good, did it? They saw him without a doubt. Physically, they saw him. But there was no faith in their heart at that time to believe that it was the Lord. One imagines that they were so cast down, they didn't probably really examine him. They were looking at the ground, if you like. But when he spoke to them, and notice that what he spoke to them was the things concerning himself out of all of the scriptures. Of course, the Old Testament in that case. Those many prophecies, those many types and shadows, as we call them, the many illustrations that there were throughout the books of the Old Testament. He spoke to them of those things and their heart burned. Always remember that. That was when their heart burned. It wasn't when there was a revelation of Christ to them. It was only, not a physical revelation, it was when he was revealing himself to them throughout all those scriptures, when they could see the wonder of those prophecies, when they believed in those things. That was when their heart burned within us. Because they said, didn't they, later on, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Sorry, the scriptures. Is that something that you have known? Sometimes perhaps you feel all too infrequently, but have there been those times when your heart has burned as you've considered the scriptures? When Christ has been revealed to you by faith in those scriptures? Is there something that makes this book so very special, different from any other book that you may ever read? Oh, they hadn't yet seen him. Well, as I say, they hadn't recognized him as being Christ, but they saw such wonders in the scriptures. Faith was strong then. And then, of course, as he broke bread, when he entered into their house and broke that bread with them, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. But notice this, he vanished out of their sight. But I don't think now they felt that he had left or forsaken them. Oh, they'd been so greatly blessed, hadn't they, with this revelation of Christ to them. Now they knew, yes, he'd gone away physically. They couldn't now see him at all. But I don't think they felt that they were forsaken. You can see what joy filled their hearts. It was 7.5 miles, wasn't it, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as we know from this account, it was evening, it was getting dark, and no doubt they were tired. And yet, they rose up the same hour and went back. It was still 7.5 miles, wasn't it? The distance hadn't shrunk. I'm quite sure in their experience, as it were, it seemed a much shorter journey. And isn't that so? Oh, when we are cast down, when we are reasoning, as it were, putting everything in our own logical terms, that's the journey can seem very slow, can't it? Can seem a very long way when we're in such a condition. But when their hearts were so filled with rejoicing that indeed the Lord had not left them or forsaken them, I'm sure that journey back seemed to pass, as it were, in a moment to them. Because they had these good tidings to share. Oh, when they got there, they were told that the Lord had appeared to others. And again, this is very wonderful, isn't it, when we're considering the background that we've read of concerning Peter. And they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." We don't know any of that detail, do we? That is hidden from us when the Lord appeared to Peter. But as I've said, it certainly suggests that Peter was on his own. He was not with the other disciples. And the Lord appeared to him. Oh, the compassion that was there. "I have not left you, Peter. I've not forsaken you." Certainly, that was what he deserved, wasn't it? And I'm sure that Peter would then have acknowledged that. But the mercy of God was there. He's appeared even to Peter. And they told what things were done in the way. Oh, there is to be, perhaps come to this more this evening, but there is to be the declaration, isn't there, of the things that have been, as it were, done in the way. How the Lord was made known to them. Oh, that's the great thing. Think of that woman, the woman with the issue of blood. How she came, and we read, just turn to it, in Mark's account of that, we read, she, as you know, she touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. And he looked round about that crowd to see her that had done this thing. It's not out of ignorance. It wasn't because he didn't know, was it? I'm quite sure he looked at that woman. And then we read this, the woman, fearing and trembling, well, one can understand that, certainly, in front of this great crowd, fearing and trembling. But the important thing was this, knowing what was done in her. She knew, we read, don't we, she knew in herself that she was healed of that plague. Oh, she knew what had been done. And so she came, and we read, she fell down before him and told him all the truth. Well, again, that wasn't to make up a gap in his knowledge, was it? It wasn't because he wanted to know, because he didn't yet know what had been done. It was to be told to the crowd. It was for the benefit of the crowd to hear what he had done for her. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But, you see, they went back then, these two disciples that had been going to Emmaus, they went back and they told what things were done in the way. Just a thought you have in Jeremiah's prophecy. There's very well known words, I suppose. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. If you have a Bible with the marginal references, you'll see that that phrase, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, could be translated as this, the Lord hath appeared from afar unto me. I do like that rendition as well. Oh, how far off we may be from the Lord at times. Those two on the way to Emmaus, they, in their experience, they were very far off, weren't they? But Jesus himself drew near. And here you see, the Lord hath appeared from afar unto me. He came near, he came to where I was and said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Well, that shows, doesn't it, that he won't leave or forsake. You couldn't describe that love as everlasting if there were gaps in it. If sometimes he was there and sometimes he forsook or left his people, then it wouldn't be a true description. But oh, how true it is. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How true that was of Peter, wasn't it? How he drew out from Peter. And you can see some of the things that Peter learned from this experience in his epistles. How he was taught by those things. They were they were sanctified. That's really what the word we should use, isn't it? They were made of use to Peter in his experience of serving God. But I want to come also to this. There's another reason why the Lord's people can be have faith in the answer to this prayer. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And it's this. You remember what Jesus cried from the cross. Speaking about this last evening, those seven sayings of the Lord from the cross, but this one in particular, just in the moments before he gave up the ghost, was this, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, my my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I hope you can see the connection. As Christ was there suffering in the place of each one of his people, as their sin was laid upon him, so he felt to be forsaken of God. Now God, in seeing that sin, could not, as it were, look upon him, turned away. How he felt forsaken. But because Christ was forsaken in that way, so his people will never be forsaken. He has borne that punishment. There's no further, we sung of it, didn't we? I can't remember the exact words, but to the effect that there's no further debt to be paid. We read in Isaiah 53, don't we, that the Father shall see of the Son's travail and shall be satisfied. The debt is paid, it's discharged, there's no outstanding balance. What a wonderful part of the gospel that is, isn't it? There's nothing left to be done, nothing to be added, no good works that can contribute to salvation, no reformation of our life upon which that salvation depends. They're good things, so we must do those things, but not to contribute to salvation. They're the fruits of salvation known in the heart. O God of my salvation, this suffering of Christ then, in order that his people will not suffer in that way, to be forsaken so that they will never be forsaken. Oh, does that cry really mean anything to us? My God, my God, why? Think about it. Why hast thou forsaken me? And if we by faith have a hope that our sin was a part of that reason, then we know the answer to this prayer. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. It is done, it is finished, as he cried, that final cry from the cross. It is perfected. The work of salvation is completed. Nothing outstanding. That's why the Lord's people will not be forsaken. Oh, may we have that faith to believe, faith to lay hold upon these great truths. Yes, we may have many enemies, we may have many doubts and fears, but to have a grip, as it were, upon that Christ was forsaken in order that we should not be. Oh, may the Lord give us an understanding and a personal interest in that. Now, there's just one further aspect I want to come to. After the resurrection, as we know, after a few more days upon the earth, the Lord led the disciples out, we read, as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Well, was that a final leaving? Was that a final forsaking of these disciples? Yes, again, you see, he was parted from them. They were told that. He was no longer in their sight physically. But was that not in fulfilment of what he had said earlier to them? I wonder, again, one doesn't want to be fanciful at all about these things, but they were real men, weren't they? And as he was parted from them, I wonder if any of them then, or perhaps later when they thought about those things, whether they recalled his words. We have them in John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You see, here's a confirmation that this is not a final parting, this is not a forsaking. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, this preparation of a place in heaven for each of his people. Again, what a wonderful confirmation that is, isn't it? That I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a token of the answer to this prayer of David. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I will come again. I will come again. And receive you unto myself. There'll be a reuniting, a reunion, that where I am, there ye may be also. And of course, in that sense, in heaven, even in our experience of that, there'll be no parting there, will there? I mean, no departing away from the Lord, but to be ever in his presence, ever around the throne, worshipping the Lamb, to join in that wonderful song that they sung, a new song, experienced anew in their hearts. Worthy is the Lamb that died. Oh, do we think of that? Think of that, that he was in our place. Is there that faith in our heart to see him there for me, for us? Oh, may God bless us then with a profitable meditation on these things, not just at this time of year. I do believe it's right to mark this time of year and the seasons of the year in that sense, but it'd be very sad, wouldn't it, if that was the only time we ever thought of this. If only once a year these things were precious to us, it wouldn't say much about the state of our soul, would it? The health of our soul. Nor too often, the psalmist says, doesn't he, let my meditation of thee shall be sweet. May it be so for us each. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £775, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Warboys will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and on Saturday at 2:30, Mr. Robert Field will take the service and baptise Victoria. Next Lord's Day, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach and to speak to the Sunday School in the afternoon. Our friends at Oakington hold their special services tomorrow, and there'll be a short church meeting on Monday the 29th of April after the prayer meeting, God willing. Let us close with hymn 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who break the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892.
we do pray that thou wilt meet with those seeking souls and do, O Lord, give that assurance in our hearts that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.